It was about 11 years ago when I started in this licensed ministry program, and my first serious study was of the Old Testament. Admittedly, it was only five Saturdays, actually, of study. But I remember a particular section of my training when I was taught that there were three instances in the entire Old Testament that referenced God's calling to us. And what our reaction to that calling should be. Recently, I've tried to recall those verses, but was unable to. And after a long search, still was unable to find those verses. And this week, when I looked up the Old Testament reading from Jeremiah, there was one of those texts, one that I had been searching for quite a while. And so I just had to speak to God's calling and to God and to Jeremiah's response. Let's remember here that God is doing the searching. He's searching Jeremiah's soul. Will you follow me? Will you become who I've made you to be? Will you speak my words? But Jeremiah thinks that there's some sort of error. That's not right, God. What did you mean? Did you mean those things? Me speak? I am but a boy. Jeremiah is being called to be a prophet. A mouthpiece of God. And the most shocking part of my ministry has been the realization that when I'm standing up here and I'm talking about the text, I myself am speaking for God. And that's a terribly awesome responsibility and one that I'm still very, very uncomfortable with. I prefer not to speak for God. I prefer to let God speak for himself. But nonetheless, God's call to Jeremiah was very specific. And it's intended for the situation in which God has placed him. Remember, I talked on Christmas Eve, if you were here, I talked about Arthur Ashe. And I said that one of the things that made him who he was as both a tennis player and as a human being was the idea that use what you have, use it where you are. And what's the third one? Use what you have. Can't think of the third one. But use what you have where you are. And that essentially is what God is asking Jeremiah. Use what you have. I'm going to give you something. Use what you have and use it where you are. So what can we learn about God's call to us and to our response? How should our response be shaped back to God? Well, the first thing we know is that God's call is personal. God is talking to Jeremiah. He's not talking to a large crowd. He's talking to one man. And similar to Jeremiah, God's call to each of us is to become who he made us to be on behalf of those that he calls us to impact. Be who we are for the people that he calls us to be for. Parker Palmer is an author, and he examined Christian calling and vocation in his book, Let Your Life Speak. The title is borrowed from an old Quaker adage that captures this two-beat nature of calling. It's about who you are, and it's about who you should influence or how you should influence others' lives. God's calling interacts first with how he has wired us, our gifts, our passions, our talents. But then this gift, this calling that he speaks to us, must be used to speak out to others. For what good is a gift if you don't open it up? It's just a fancy wrapped box. In saying that our calling is personal, we also mean that it is unique to each one of us. We aren't supposed to read Jeremiah's calling and do what Jeremiah was supposed to do. We're supposed to read it and to do what we're supposed to do. We aren't all called to be missionaries in Uganda, or mothers to autistic children, or servants in a children's ministry, or sufferers of chronic pain, or architects bringing the sacredness of beauty to public spaces. God's call is personal to each one of us. So, who has He made us to be? And who are we supposed to influence through that call? Well, our response is a process. In verse 6, Jeremiah looks a little bit dense. He's asking God, "Are you really talking to me? Did you really mean what you said?" If we heard God speak to us, we'd probably respond in a second, wouldn't we? We'd be much more like Isaiah in chapter 6, won over by God, contrite, bowed, undone, responsive. But is that really the case? I know in my calling, it took over 40 years. Not very responsive. How many of us intentionally respond to all of God's other calls? To give generously, to pray without ceasing, to love our spouse sacrificially, to not be anxious about anything, and so on and so on and so on. I think our response is going to be more like Jeremiah's. God said, "I've made you a prophet, Jeremiah." And Jeremiah, I can't speak well enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not brave enough. What a silly God to pick Jeremiah. God must have made some kind of typo in the name Jeremiah. Can't be talking about me. He doesn't know that I don't fit what God is looking for. I'm just Jeremiah. I'm just Dave. And Jeremiah's story is a lot like Moses in the Exodus in chapter 3 and 4. Remember, God said, "I'm sending you to deliver my people." And Moses said, "Who am I? Who are you? What if nobody believes me? I can't do it. I can't speak. Please ask somebody else." When we read these accounts, it's not just their story. It's our story as well. Responding to the call of God is often a Jeremiah or a Moses process. Not me. Really? You're calling me? I remember sitting in the gathering area. I don't know why it struck. I don't even know what struck me. But I'm sitting there, and suddenly I stood up and I, not yelled and not screamed, but in a loud voice said, "I can do this." Wait a minute. I can do what? What am I supposed to be doing? You can't be calling Dave. It's impossible. And yet, kicking and screaming, here I am. We're human. And these responses are common in understanding our calling. They're expected, and they assume a process of growing in the faith. But it just God can't really be asking that of us. Eventually, we just discern, which is a term that I don't like, but eventually we just give in, I guess, and we act when God calls. But before we get there, we usually duck and deny and downplay and digest and deliberate a lot and develop some kind of an excuse in responding to the voice of God within us. What was true for Jeremiah and Moses is also true for us. God believes in us more than we believe in him. He's patient enough to allow us to get on board with his agenda through a maturation process, a maturing of our faith. He's willing to let 40 years go by of struggling and denial before he makes it clear what's needed and what he wants. God's call is a partnership. When God calls Jeremiah, he doesn't leave him alone to accomplish that calling. He says in verse 7, "You shall go to all to whom I send you. You shall speak whatever I command. I am with you. I have put my words in your mouth." God's calling is always an invitation to partner with him in a place where his Spirit is already at work. Paul, St. Paul, models this in describing the preaching that he was called to do. It wasn't a human effort, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power. What was true for Paul is true for real preaching today. And what is true in the pulpit is just as true for the calling of every person in its audience. Whatever God calls people to do is the thing he intends to empower them to accomplish. At that place, in that time. That means we're not alone in our calling. We aren't solely responsible for the results of what we're called to do. And we can't claim all the credit for all of the results. We find God at work around us, and we join him in what he might do through us. This is the partnership of our calling. He calls us to help him do his work. God never does what he can do through us. The lectionary compilers, those that determine which verses are to be read and preached upon each week, saw fit to spare us the heavy lifting of verses 1 through 3. And if you unpack those verses, believe me, it's very heavy. But an important piece of context shouldn't be overlooked here. Jeremiah spoke the word of God until the captivity of Jerusalem in the fifth month. God called out to Israel in prophecies, in warnings, in chances, in fresh starts, in guidance. But Israel didn't have forever to respond. God isn't content to be ignored forever. He eventually honors the desires of those who ignore him, and then the consequences fall where they may. So sit out in the gathering area and decide that you can do this, whatever this is. But it doesn't really matter. Because the consequences of failure to act are going to fall where they may. Something's going to happen. God's going to intervene regardless of your call. And we see this throughout the Bible. Israel ignores her prophets, and enemies eventually show up. Jesus told the disciples to shake the dust off their feet and move to the next town if they were ignored. regardless of the timing in your apocalyptic view of our faith, God eventually consummates everything with no more chances. When we pray to God to be saved, when we're on our deathbed, or someone's on their deathbed, and they're praying to be saved, and they're asking for one more chance, how many chances did God already give them? We can ignore God's call, and he'll eventually accept our terms. He'll eventually believe that we're ignoring him, and he'll move on. It may be the call of God to trust Christ for the first time. He may be calling us to leave a pattern of sin. He may call us to move our families into the poorest school district in town. But when God's Spirit leads us and woos us, it isn't forever. Death comes, consequences come, complacency comes. Something will cause the invitation of God to expire. So while we need to be careful in discerning God's calling in our life, we also need to be careful not to put off our obedience for too long. Responding to God's call is a temporary window of kingdom opportunity. When we read the calling of Jeremiah, we can see our own tendencies. We're likely to balk at partnering with God. We may not see how he has made us. We may have excuses lined up and ready to go. But God doesn't make errors in calling us. Despite all we know about the disciples, God did not make a mistake when he chose the disciples. Even though up until the crucifixion, we really have no faith in the disciples and their abilities. We can thank God for his grace in our process of discerning him. But we should also jump in and take risks to become the person who he has made us to be. And to love and to help those that he is asking us to help. Amen.